Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
This next topic, I've purposely, although they did put the names of the individuals involved and the judge and everything else in the newspapers today, I purposely took them out because I don't believe it's the crime of the century. And I would hate to see somebody's reputation being destroyed, you know, because their names were put in the newspaper for such a crime. So I want to read this out to you. A Dublin couple who used forged documents to apply for a mortgage because they believed they would never qualify otherwise for a housing loan have been spared a jail sentence. The judge said the couple did not realise they were engaging in criminal activity in what was not a highly sophisticated effort to deceive a bank. So you can, when they say it wasn't a highly sophisticated effort, they hadn't gone and hired some, you know, major fraudster, you know, to replicate their documents. They had done it themselves, probably. Sentencing them to periods of community service in lieu of a prison term, the judge described the case as highly unusual and exceptional. She said, "I don't condone what they did. It was wrong, but I do understand why they did it." Now, the couple pleaded guilty in the Dublin Circuit Criminal Court to a charge of attempting to obtain services by deception from KBC Bank. And the couple who were engaged with two children were looking to buy a home. The home of a relative, actually. And the detective said that the woman had completed an application form for a €239,000 mortgage and also provided a P60 as well as payslips and salary certificates. However, KBC official became suspicious about the validity of the documents and the bank notified the guards of its concerns. Obviously, there was mathematical mistakes. And they went, "Well, hold on for a second. That says they earned that. That doesn't add up to that." And so there was concerns. And they contacted the guards. The court heard that the couple had admitted the documents were false, but explained that although they could afford the mortgage and the loan repayments, they knew they would have difficulty obtaining an actual mortgage because of obviously, the criteria set out. And the couple had obtained the services of a creative accountant. A creative accountant who was now the subject of a wider Garda investigation. They had paid this individual $2,500 to obtain false documents. Oh, they did pay somebody. They paid somebody, basically, $2,500 to obtain false documents and would have owed him more if they had have obtained a mortgage. In other words, he said, "Well, if this works, you know, you have to give me a few quid." Asking for the court to deal with the matter with leniency, their solicitor said they had worked that he had worked all of his life as a self-employed tiler, but was never going to be in a position to obtain a mortgage. At the sentencing hearing today, the judge acknowledged that they did not abuse any position of trust enough for their actions and were not motivated by personal gain. The judge also noted that the couple had not instigated the use of falsified documents and that the bank had suffered no actual loss and never could have. At the same time, she said the bank was being seriously misled by the use of the false documents, and the judge said she recognised the pressure and intolerable stress placed on families trying to pay for a house and avoiding being made homeless. The couple were sentenced to 120 and 100 hours of community service in lieu of a prison sentence of 6 to 5 months. Oh, 6 and 5 months, sorry. So today I want to talk about the situation. Now, I don't want to talk about them because I think it's unfair. Right? And that's why we did, even though the names are in the paper, we didn't name them here, right? I think it's unfair. I don't think it's the crime of the century. I think they did something in desperation. They wanted somewhere to live. They thought this was a good idea. Somebody said to them, "Well, look, I could do this up for you and make it look like you earn a bit more money. And sure, there you go. You'd be grand." And they did it, right? I don't think there was any malice in what they did. I think they did it for their children and for themselves, personally speaking. But I want to talk about this situation because there are thousands of families and couples in this situation who, I believe, would be tempted into trying to falsify documents to get a home. I mean, look, we've spoken about Helena on many occasions. You know, herself and Rory have a job. You know, they'd like to get a mortgage for X amount, but they probably couldn't on their earnings if they add them together. The criteria is pretty strict. I don't know what the criteria is nowadays. Helena, what is the criteria nowadays?
For a first-time buyer, you need to have 10% savings of the mortgage you want. And then you also get a mortgage of 3.5 times your salary, so combined.
Oh, combined salary, not the main earner.
And Rory's salary combined, we'd get 3.5 times that.
And if it's a sole earner, is it different?
I'm not 100%. To be honest, I haven't looked into that myself, so I wouldn't be able to.
Okay, so that's a bit stiff. So, you know, you're entitled to basically your average earners are probably entitled to about 250,000, 280,000 max.
It really depends on your wage. It depends on what your wage is, what both of your wage are combined.
So how long do you have to be working in that job?
Some banks would want you to have maybe your permanent job for maybe a year,
Okay. Maybe. Okay, and they'll examine your bank statements for every little detail.
Every single thing you've paid in the last 6 months.
Every habit that you might have.
Banks tend to look back on 6 months.
If you're doing a bit of online shopping, for example, you know, doing a bit of Amazoning,
you wouldn't. For the 6 months prior to your, to when you know you're going to be applying. So you're looking at what you're saving and you say to yourself, right, in 6 months' time, I think I'll be, you know, in
applying
a place,
for a mortgage, yeah.
I'll be in a place to apply to a bank. For those 6 months, you cannot spend a penny. You pay your bills.
Pardon the pun.
Yeah, you pay your bills and you know, you have your income and you need to show them that you've...
So you don't be heading off on holidays, you don't be going for drinks and using your card or your bank card over the weekend.
No,
and
you have to basically live like a hermit for 6 months and not spend a penny.
All right, okay. And in relation to this couple who falsified documents, not something I know that you would consider doing,
no.
But can you understand their frustration?
Absolutely. I can understand the desperation because, you know, I know friends of mine and myself, you know, we're saving our deposit, we're saving the money, so we're putting away certain amounts every month. You have to get, so you're looking at, I've said this before, you know, you're looking at an average house in Dublin, probably about 300,000. So you're looking to save 30 grand of that for yourself. By the time you save that, you then look at both of your wages and you realise you can only get 3.5 times, which means the bank won't even laugh. For some people, will laugh at you if you're looking for it. Now, I know there are exemptions and, you know, that comes into it too, but not all banks are happy to give them. So I do feel immense sympathy because, you know, you can do everything you're supposed to do, but, you know, you can't walk into your boss and say, I need more money, and they're going to hand it to you. You know, I know you can go and get a new job, but again, it's
always not that easy. No, I understand. And just to warn people as well, I know it's easy enough nowadays with technology and printers and Photoshop to falsify documents. It's probably very easy to do it. But in saying that, I don't advise you do, because technically it's fraud and you can be charged with fraud. Now, of course, what they were charged with, I'm just looking here, was attempting to obtain services by deception from KBC Bank. All right. Now, I don't want to talk about them as such, but I'm asking you, do you have sympathy for somebody who would be desperate enough to do something like this to illegally, I suppose, get a mortgage? Jim, you're on Classic Hits. How you doing, Jim?
How you doing, Niall? Okay.
Jim, I mean, do you have any level of sympathy for somebody who would, you know, falsify a document to, you know, illegally get a mortgage?
Well, as you say, you hit the nail on the head there. Falsify, forgery and deception are two crimes which are written down in the law of the land that you can be recharged for, you know, pay a fine or go to jail for if you commit them. So they knowingly committed forgery and deception. And saying that again, I mean, to be honest with you, the bank, when they smelled the rat, they could have just said, look, listen, and if they went in and kicked up the door, they say, look, listen, we know this stuff is off the
But since when do the banks become the moral guardians of society? Because if you go back 20 years, Jim, or particularly during the Celtic Tiger in around 2002, 2003, it was quite common practice for people to falsify their P60s. If anything at all, the banks were encouraging it nearly.
Exactly, and certainly the bank concerned. I mean, they wouldn't exactly have a clinker clean reputation in relation to their business dealings. I still think at the end of the day, it's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong on every level because you're not being transparent. You're not being honest. You're saying in this case, for example, they had the ability to repay. There are people who mightn't have the ability to repay, and then that opens up another whole can of worms. So, I mean, the fact that you're being deceiving and you're actually involved with a third party in helping to procure these documents.
They said the services were obtained through a creative accountant.
Well, there you go, you see. So, you know, there's always some type of, when there's paper, there's always going to be a paper trail. So in fact, another person there, who you'd imagine if they're a chartered or a certified accountant, actually knowingly gave them a hand in this whole thing. So he should also be taken to task as well, too.
Well, he is subject of a wider Garda investigation now. So he may, that to me suggests he may have done it for other people too.
Well, exactly, yeah. But, so at the end of the day, it's against the law, and that's it. If you break the law, unfortunately, you have to put your hand out and prepare to get a slap. And, you know, I know you're sort of saying, okay, look at this situation, it's difficult, and you gave an example there with Helena's situation or whatever. It's hard for people combining things to get from A to B and the way the rules are now. But still, what they did was wrong.
But I've seen situations of people applying for mortgages where they've been renting for 5 years, paying their rent on time every month for the last 5 years, and the bank don't take that into consideration. It doesn't matter.
Because
they haven't been saving.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be defending the banks in any way, shape or form. I defend the law of the land. is what I'd be saying. But I think the banks exactly would be certainly at the top of the list to Teapot Call and the Kettle Black. You know, I think is they're certainly not in a position when in hindsight when you look.
Yeah, but the banks are taking the law very literally here, because for years people have bounced checks, which is technically fraud, by the way, to bounce a check, to give somebody a check knowing that you don't have the money in the account. People have done that for years. They don't go to court for that. Many people many years ago getting mortgages would have done exactly the same thing. They weren't taken to court. Worst case scenario, the bank would figure it out and go, we're not giving you a mortgage. It does seem a little bit OTT.
It is OTT that they trusted to the fact that they handed it over to the guards, and then obviously, you know, if the bank were anyway, let's say, customer-friendly or user-friendly or with a bit of PR, they would have said to the guards, look, listen, you know, okay, we brought this to light, but we're not going to push charges. So the bank obviously wanted to have charges pushed against these people, the fact that it ended up in court, instead of just saying, look, listen, we've brought this to the attention of the guards. We know you're out of order. This is, one and one doesn't make two. These things are false, or they've been prefabricated. So, you know, go away and you know, if their names are put on some blacklist, that people say, look, if these people are looking, they're not eligible. They've produced false documentation. Because at the end of the day, it's, you know, you're only going back to the old ways if there's loans being given out willy-nilly. With there being no control, you know?
Okay, well, we'll stay there for a second. It's a good point, I suppose. Paul, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Paul?
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, well, Jim makes a fair point that if we allow that to happen and we all kind of have empathy or sympathy for it, well, then we're going back to the old days where people are falsifying stuff to get loans they probably can't afford.
Yeah, I understand Jim's point, but I also think, how many times has a bank falsified stuff and absolutely screwed people?
Oh yeah, I mean, well, we've seen absolute evidence of that, yeah.
My brother lost his two of his businesses because the bank produced the documentation, and I won't say the bank, with his partner's signature on it, and dated and stamped, and she wasn't even in the country at the time. It turned out it was one of the bank secretaries who signed the bloody paper. But now, I'll give you a bit of my story, as I said to your researcher there. I'm 45 years of age, right? When I was 38, I went to the States for 2 years, and I worked my ass off. And I came back with enough to put a deposit on an apartment, and I was laughed at. They basically laughed at me, because at the time I would have been 40 years old. You cannot get a mortgage in this country after 42 years of age, because they reckon you won't live through the term of the mortgage.
Well, you can get it up to the age, well, you're allowed to have a mortgage up to the age of 70 if you're self-employed, 65 if you're PAYE,
right.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I was given the wrong information, but yeah. I was told I wouldn't get one.
No, when I say get a mortgage, the mortgage can only extend till the age of 70, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, so basically, if I got a 25-30 year mortgage, it's over the age of 70, I won't get it.
No.
Even though I had 40 grand sitting in the bank.
Doesn't matter. They can only extend your mortgage to the age of 70.
Well, I mean, since I came home from the States, I've gone to the situation of having to move back home. Because I can't, I work all the bloody time. I work my ass off.
Like, I can only guess. I'm 55, so if I applied for a mortgage now, it's probably very unlikely they'd give it to me. But if I applied for a mortgage now, they can only give me a 15-year mortgage.
Well, why would you need a mortgage for the money you're on there?
I'm just saying, if I did legally, they could only give me a 15-year mortgage.
No, that's why I feel sorry for those two. I do feel sorry for them, and I understand completely why they did it.
Okay, well, hang on for a second, both of you, and I want to come to Stephen as well. But before I do that, I want to go to Sandra. Sandra, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Sandra? Oh, sorry, Sandra, hold on, I just switch you on. Sorry, Sandra, go ahead.
Hi, Niall, how are you?
Good. Sandra, now it says on my screen you did falsify documents.
I most certainly did.
Was it to get a mortgage?
We tried, but we did get caught for it.
Right, and what did you falsify?
We falsified our statement of earnings.
Right, okay.
I'm just going to pull over here and get off the tape.
No, okay.
We had a creative accountant also.
So you had a creative account. Were you self-employed at the time?
My husband was.
Okay, so it does seem to be more so a thing of self-employed people because it's easier for them to falsify documents, I suppose, than PAYE, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so you had a creative accountant who said, look, I can make it look like you're earning a bit more than you're actually earning.
Absolutely. That was exactly how it went.
Right, and how much did you have to PAYE to get that done, by the way? Was it expensive?
He was a family friend. Well, he wasn't obviously too good of a family friend because we got caught for it, and he wasn't a good creative accountant.
Right.
I think we paid about 500 at the time, and that was just as we turned over to euros. We're going back to the year 2001.
Right, okay, so that was, you know, in the midst of the Celtic Tiger when properties were expensive and mortgages were easier to get.
I'll never forget, it was a new build, it was over in Carpenter's Town. We were absolutely broken hearted. When they basically caught us first. They asked for a certified stamp on it, which we couldn't get then at that point in time.
Right.
So they just withdrew the offer and they basically told us they knew it was falsified.
But they didn't prosecute you?
No. It never even dawned on me that they could, to be honest, Niall. We knew we could pay the money back. We wanted to buy a house. I mean, on one hand, we're giving up these young couples that are getting half a scheme, rent allowance, blah, blah, blah. Here's a couple trying to do it the right way and they're penalised.
Well, see, their argument is that you weren't doing it the right way. You were doing it illegally. No, I'm not having a go at you, by the way, Sandra.
No,
I'm just saying that's their argument.
It's too high for us. We weren't looking to buy this massive house. We were buying a standard three-bedroom house in a decent area, you know, with the hope of bringing kids somewhere into it down the line. Now, my point is that we are, what, that was 2001. We got married in 2003. We've moved three times since, trying to get the forever house, which is never coming. But anyway, we have one more year left on mortgage, and we're mortgage-free. So right. We were never a risk to them.
I mean, well, hang on, Jim, there's a fair point. You know, they were never a risk. Sandra and her partner falsified documents, got a creative accountant, and now they were caught. So the bank just said, listen, you're not getting a mortgage, we've copped onto you. But they didn't prosecute them. It's a bit much, Jim. Oh, sorry, Jim has gone there.
I just think it's disgraceful now. I mean, they're not going to lose because these people have to have whatever percentage it is, first of all. So if it's 300,000 house, they've 30,000. They're going to kill it out with furniture, they're going to do whatever. If they find they both lose their job, they can't pay a mortgage, it's still an asset the bank can take at any point in time.
I mean, look, it was common. I'm not going to say it wasn't. At the times, if you go back to 2001, 2002, right up to 2008 or 7, when the whole economy started to collapse, it was quite common practice for people to dodge up their P60s a little bit or, you know, to get a creative accountant, as you said. And the banks nearly encouraged it. They almost, because the regulator wasn't doing a thing. So the banks were kind of saying, well, we can't really take that. But, you know, the brokers, I'm saying, they were kind of saying, well, sure, you know, if you could come back with one with an extra 20 grand on it, we might be able to get to that mortgage and shouldn't be a problem, you know. So they're kind of winking their eye at you and almost insinuating this is what you should do.
Absolutely. And I mean, I'm not talking about somebody who wants to buy this £1 million house. We're talking about these young people who want to get on the ladder. They're being realistic in what they can pay. I mean, they don't want to overstretch themselves. They don't want to have this lovely house and not have any food in the press.
When you were producing those documents that you knew were false, right? Mm-hmm. Were you shitting yourself? Were you thinking to yourself, well, geez, if I get caught here
now? Because I honestly never believed I was doing anything wrong. I wanted to buy a house. I knew I would make every payment. If I had to do 10 jobs to pay it back, I would have done that.
In your mind, you didn't think this is fraud?
No.
Because it is, by the way, just point that out.
I know. Well, similar, years ago, you could find €5 or £5 on the street and you'd say, happy days. You might look around and say to the people around you, is that yours? But you didn't think you were actually doing anything wrong if you didn't find the owner and took it. Nowadays, you find a fiver, you need to bring it somewhere. You need to go to the garage station with it. It'll cost you more in shoe leather to get there, but you have to do it. So standards have changed.
Now, in fairness, this particular incident didn't happen in 2001. It only happened recently when standards have changed and they are stricter on mortgages now because of the problems we had in 2008 where people were given mortgages they couldn't afford because of the very thing that you're talking about, that many people falsified documents to get mortgages they actually couldn't afford.
Well, see, this is the problem. I mean, this young couple, I don't know. I only heard about it yourself, when I was listening to the radio.
You know, it's in the paper today. And mind you, they've been named and shamed in the paper, which I thought was a bit much.
They're trying to get a house to do the right thing. Okay, they may have gone about it the wrong way. It just depends on which side of the fence. Like, I've had to do that before.
And by the way, in 2001, when you were turned down by this bank, did you try it with another bank?
Oh, yeah, 2 years later.
And you got the mortgage?
Well, no, we got a better creative accountant.
Right. And you got the mortgage?
Yeah, we did.
Right, okay. So you got the mortgage.
Went to a different bank, obviously. So it was Bank of Ireland the first time. They caught us. And then we got a mortgage with Permanent TSB, which we paid religiously for 2 years in that house. We moved from that house after 2 years to a better.
Okay, so you were finished your dealings with Permanent TSB, who you had also falsified documents with?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
The second time round, it was easier. The second time, we didn't need to falsify it. We had, obviously, a 2-year history with Permanent TSB. We closed off that mortgage, sold the house. 2 weeks later, we realized.
So just to clarify, the mortgage you're on currently, which is almost finished, as you said yourself, that wasn't falsified. You didn't
no,
have falsified documents.
Fine.
Okay, all right, okay.
But
just
once
to clarify that.
We had a 2-year history with them.
Yeah.
And they saw we never missed a payment. They were happy to top up our mortgage. Well, like start a new one with a higher amount. That's what I mean by top up.
But yeah, I'm looking at a text coming in here. Niall, I have to say, fair play to Santa for honesty. We did exactly the same thing. My husband is a plumber. It was very difficult at the time to get a mortgage. Nobody would give us a mortgage because he was self-employed, even though he was earning good money. It was difficult to prove. So again, we got a friend who was an accountant and he helped us to falsify the documents. It seems to be quite common practice. I'm not condoning it, by the way. I'm just saying.
I will say our guy who helped us, the creative, the second creative accountant, he actually sat down with us to make sure we could manage. It wasn't all.
So he stress tested you?
Basically, he did. And his conscience was clear as far as he's concerned.
So basically he said, look, I want to make sure you do actually have enough money for this mortgage before I do this for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know.
And how much did he charge you, by the way?
Oh, he was only very little, to be honest. He was a slash accountant broker. He was all kind of in one go.
Oh, okay. So it was in his interest that you got the mortgage because he was going to get a commission on it anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah, he had like a few people working together, so they had it all sewn up. But they did check to make sure we could do it. He didn't just. And we remained friends with him for 10 years after that kind of thing.
Mm. Right. Okay. Very good.
And, you know, I don't make an apology for her because we have.
Do you regret? I mean, in hindsight, you don't regret it.
If I had to do it tomorrow, I'd still do it tomorrow, Niall. Not a bother. Even though now I could go to prison for it, I wouldn't care if that's the only.
Because you want to provide a home for your family.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Hang on a second. Let me just go to Stephen. As well, stay there, please. Stephen, you're on Classic Hits. Stephen, I understand the situation that Sandra was in. I understand the situation this couple might have found themselves in. And we know. Again, I have to reiterate, it is illegal. Do you have sympathy, Stephen?
I do have sympathy, Niall, because it is almost impossible to get onto the property ladder. But. What I would say would be, how many of the 10,000 people that are homeless now had dodgy P60s? Because back when I was getting a mortgage in 2002, I think it was, I could get a dodgy P60 for 200 quid, Niall. No problem. Off about 50 different people. Now, back to that time, if you remember correctly, that you were filled out in pen. So you were able to buy a blank one and fill it out yourself.
Well, I know of people at the time, going back to when I got my first mortgage, which was back in 1993, that if you had a good relationship with your employer, he'd ask you how much you wanted on the P60. And he'd write whatever you wanted on it.
Yeah, that was going on as well. But is that not the problem that we face now? People were taking on loans that they couldn't really afford.
Probably. Yeah, I would agree. But that was up to the regulator to keep an eye on this whole thing back in 2000, well, in the 2000s, the early 2000s, Celtic Tiger. And, you know, should the report that came out in 2011 in relation to the crash suggested that it was the regulator and the banks for not watching what was going on. They weren't keeping their hand wasn't on the wheel, so to speak.
Now, ironically, it's probably because of that situation with the banks that people have to falsify documents. So it's a vicious circle, really, isn't it?
I mean, when you look at Dublin, for example, and I take Helena and probably Sandra in the similar situation, she just wants a house for her and her partner and hopefully to have a few kids in the future. She just wants to provide a home for herself. And it's a very difficult situation when you're only approved for, say, €250,000. So what the hell are you going to buy in Dublin for €250,000?
Absolutely not.
And she's watching other people, you know, getting, you know, on the property ladder who are unemployed. And I'm sorry to have a go at people who are unemployed. I'm not. But she's watching other people who are on HAP schemes, getting nice houses, 3-bedroom houses. She's working her butt off in here every day. And our boyfriend is working his butt off and they can't get a house. So I can understand the temptation for people to want to do that to get into the ladder.
Yeah, and it's up to the government now to do more for these people that need help to get onto the ladder. Affordable housing needs to be the top of their priority list. Never mind social housing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Sandra should have never had to do that in the first place.
No, of course.
I'm not justifying what she did, but I'm just saying she shouldn't have had to do it because the state should have been there and said, but listen, Sandra, we know you're working. We know your hubby is working. He's earning a few quid. How can we help? Can we go halves with you on this mortgage and you can pay us back at the end? Or, you know, what they used to call the shared ownership scheme or some sort of, you know, help for people like Sandra, like you, like me, like Kalina, instead of just helping people who were unemployed.
It must be highly frustrating for people in that situation to see that they're getting up. And the ironic thing about Leo saying, for the people that get up at 6 in the morning, they get the least help in this society.
everybody.
Yeah, well, the more you, the harder you work and the harder you try in this country, the less you get, and the less you get rewarded for it. Trust me. I'm not condoning what Sandra did, because somebody said, "No, I think it's awful that you're condoning that." Sandra said she's basically admitting breaking the law, and you're condoning it. I'm not condoning it. What I'm saying to you is, I understand why she did it.
Yeah, and I can understand that. Nobody's condoning it, but you can understand why it's going on. And I can say, Niall, quite confidently, that up to probably 25% of people that's listening today probably did the exact same thing.
But just won't admit it.
They're wrong. Well, why would they on air? Because they're liable then, you know what I mean? But,
Well, if the mortgage is still in continuation, which in Sandra's case it's not, so I want to clarify that, yeah.
But
Sandra, go ahead, yeah.
I don't make an apology for that. It was the best thing for us. We were aiming for the sun, moon and stars. We knew we could make these payments. We needed somebody to take a chance on us, and the bank wasn't prepared to. And we never missed a payment.
The banks will say, what happens if you go into a recession again and you can't get a job?
But it wasn't that much. It was less than what rent would be. This was the point. It was well manageable. Our first mortgage was 800 euros. We never borrowed. We had a huge lump sum. We were two very hard workers. In fact, we're finished our mortgage next year. We're 45 years of age, and we'll be mortgage free.
Say if you pay 50 grand a year for medical expenses, say some...
You know, no, I know. Look, the point you're making is they weren't stress tested properly by the bank, because the bank, as far as they were concerned, were basing it on the figures that she gave them. Do me a favour, stay there, Sandra, because I have to take a break. Loads of people texting in. Let me see. Fraud is fraud. And if you do it, you should be willing to face the consequences if you're caught. I agree with you. Yes, you're right. But fraud is not fraud. There are different types of fraud, and there's different types of deception, and there's different motives behind the deception or the fraud. There was one other case there in the paper today of fraud, of a man who had defrauded 1.something million, but surely he was involved in all sorts of carry-on, and he got a jail term. Somebody says, fraud is fraud, and if you do it, you should be willing to face the consequences. Another person says, flipping country, Niall, is built on fraud, for Christ's sakes, as Kevin in Limerick. And then somebody else said, fraud is not fraud, because I'd said that. Not every fraud is the same. There are different types of fraud. You're a moron. I'm not a moron. What I'm trying to explain to you is, like, for example, you could say theft is theft, and it is, to some extent. But somebody said to me yesterday, if you're working as a security guard and an old woman stole some food, would you charge her? And I said, of course not, because of the consequences and the motive behind it. You want to feed yourself. Robert, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Robert?
How's it going on? I'm good, and yourself?
Good, Robert. I mean, look, this case is in the paper today of a couple who, you know, obviously by deception provided, you know, a P60 payslips and a salary certificate that were created by a creative accountant. Now, in most cases, banks would just turn around and say, we're not giving you the mortgage, but KBC decided to take a case to the Garda Síochána. You know, is it a bit over the top?
No, it's not, because, for example, I got a mortgage approved, and I'm on a 30-hour contract, and they took in consideration my rent pay, my overtime pay, and my wife was, at the time, she was working only 4 months in the company, and we had to wait for the 2 months more for her to be considered a full time, and we got the mortgage. So it's not that hard as you're saying and as the people are saying.
Well, hang on. It is hard. I know two people currently at the moment who are applying for mortgages, and both of them have given me their experience, and it does seem very difficult.
Yeah, because they're applying for 350,000. What's wrong with the 2-bedroom apartment?
Because they don't want to live in a 2-bedroom apartment. They want to have kids.
I'm going to have a kid now, and I'm in a 2-bedroom apartment, and you're paying the lower mortgage, and you can upgrade with the time. So what's wrong with starting with something small, and you can upgrade with the time, right?
Well, actually, I'll tell you what. I'm going to ask Helena that question, because she's in that position. Helena, sorry. Okay, he makes a good point. Start at the bottom, work your way up, buy yourself a 2-bedroom apartment instead of a house. And then you don't have to apply for as much money.
Because your mortgage is going to be 600 euro, for example, a month. And then you can save more and you can apply for a bigger mortgage with the time. If you're going to have two kids, you want to upgrade, and you can upgrade. And you still have...
Okay, let her answer that, because I'm not applying for a mortgage. So I don't understand exactly what you mean, but Helene is in that position.
It is a good point. But all I'm saying is, I mean, then I suppose how long down the line till you're able to have your second child? Is it 10 years down the line when you can have your second child? Also, what if your employment situation doesn't change in those years? You're still left in the same boat, which is that you cannot afford that. You cannot get that. You may afford the repayments, but you can't get that mortgage from the bank. They won't give
Selena, by the time you're gonna be in a position to apply for a higher mortgage, at least you're going to be paying your own apartment.
Yes.
You're not going to be paying the rent to somebody else. And you're going to be able to save more money, because at the moment, two-bedroom apartment is €1,600, and you're paying the mortgage maximum €700, which is yours. Absolutely yours. You can do whatever you want.
What you're saying is a mortgage is cheaper than rent. Of course it is.
Of course. Of course. And you can save more money.
I'm not renting. I'm not out of my family.
No, she's still living with her mom, and so is her boyfriend, which is a different situation.
I'm still living at home and still struggling, Robert.
Yeah.
Which can be very difficult. But Robert, let me get back to the other question. I understand the point you're making, that people should maybe cut their cloth according to what they can actually afford, right? And I understand the point you're making, and it's a fair point. But in relation to, say, a couple, you know, who defraud, and that's what it is, by doctoring documents, you know, do you believe that's a jailable offence, or is it just a case the bank should just say piss off?
Well, take it for example. I'm not an Irish citizen. And if I forge the documents and I go to the bank tomorrow and I take 200,000 and I fucked up from this country, is that not a fraud? It's absolutely the same. They are defrauding the system to get the money or to get a mortgage for their own benefit. It's a fraud. It's as simple as that. It's a fraud. It's stealing from somebody else.
You're not stealing. There's no theft involved. What you're doing, I mean, because you are paying it back. Now, it's a different crime if you don't pay it back. Then we have a second crime, which is obviously you are stealing money, or you're taking money by default or by defraud. So that's what the bank, the judge said in this case, that there was the bank hadn't suffered any loss whatsoever through this. And he also said that he did understand why the couple did it. And the judge said that he also recognised the pressure and the intolerable stress being placed on families trying to pay for housing and avoiding being made homeless. So he did understand why they did it.
Yeah, but the bank didn't suffer any loss because they didn't go through with the mortgage. If they went,
but it was unlikely they were going to suffer loss, and that was established in the court too, because they could afford to pay it.
What would happen if they got a mortgage and they decided, we're not going to pay this?
Well, then, like anybody else, they'd lose the house.
Yes, and then they're going to be on your program crying and sobbing that they're homeless and all that. It's not that hard to get a house. I'm in Dublin. I bought it for 180,000, two-bedroom apartment. So it's not that hard.
Okay, but stay there for a second, because Ron, you're on Classic Hits. How you doing, Ron?
Hey, Noel, you're well.
You were listening to Sandra just before Robert came on before the break there, saying that she did it. She got a creative accountant to make up documents for her that were false to get her mortgage.
That's correct, yeah. I did the same.
Oh, you did the same?
Yeah. Back in the day, pre-recession time, yeah.
Okay, so what
I
did you do? You gave
it to the bank.
Okay, so you gave a fake P60, was it?
No, salary certificate from my employer's accountant. Just gave me a letter, brought it to the bank, brought it to the broker. Broker took it, brought it to the bank, got the mortgage.
Okay, well, it was a bit easier in those days, probably, anyway.
Of course it was, yeah. Of course it was. Now, I can understand what Robert's saying there, but... Come on, let's be realistic. No one's lost any money here, Noel. You said it yourself. It's not fraud. No money's been handed over. So what's the problem with the bank?
It is trying to obtain it by defraud.
But it's up to the bank to perform their due diligence on every single application. If they find that...
But they do rely on honesty, too. But they do rely on honesty. The bank don't have access... Well, hang on, with the greatest respect. The bank don't have access to your revenue account to the revenue commissioners. They don't have that access. They're not allowed. And if they did, you'd be given out about that, saying that that's data protection, right? So they rely on you providing them with honest documentation.
Yes, but at the end of the day, the bottom line stops with the bank. They're the ones who make the decision to whether, yes, we'll approve that.
But if you're providing them with a false documentation, I'm only giving the other side of the argument. I'm not having a go, right?
Yeah, yeah. No,
but if you're providing them with a certificate that says, you know, that instead of earning 40,000, you're earning 60,000, they trust that that's accurate. It clearly states on the rules and terms and conditions that you're providing them with honest information, and you're signing a piece of paper to say that this is honest. It's an honest declaration. So you're lying. Yeah.
Yes, but the due diligence from the bank should be, okay, we see your letter here, we see your P60, now you need to show us your wages going into the bank for every period, for a set period of time.
Well, they do now.
Say it's 6 months, 9 months, 12 months. So it doesn't matter what false documentation you... The number
but
one...
But that's how this couple were caught, probably, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, there was no money obtained.
Let me ask Robert. Robert, that's a fair point. Although they provided false documentation, the bank clearly spotted by looking at their bank statements that they were kind of telling a few fibs. Now, Ron provided a false declaration. Is Ron guilty of fraud?
Well, he had to do it because he's probably self-employed, and it's different for self-employed people to get to obtain the money.
Was self-employed, Robert?
He wasn't self-employed at the time.
It is. In my eyes, it is a fraud. It is a fraud. Imagine if I go tomorrow and I ask for 200,000 from the bank and obtain it by giving the false documents. Is that not a fraud?
Stay there, Robert and Ron. I want to go to Seamus as well. Seamus, you're on Classic Hits.
How you doing, Al?
Seamus, you have sympathy for people like Ron who had to falsify his documents, Sandra, or these two people who ended up in court, have you?
I do. I think they were screwed by a bank. But just obviously one of their compliance departments probably sent a file off based on what they sent in. And I think they were. It's a little unfair under the circumstances. As you say, there are different types of fraud. I mean, the banks and God knows other organisations in this country, including the government, have been defrauding people for how long?
Mm-hmm.
100 years or more. Like, some of it goes unaware because they have the legislators. And I mean, there's so many organisations you can talk about in the system that are defrauding people. It's a bigger conversation. But yeah, I'm on their side because, like, as you say, the motive is just to have a home. It's not like some investor buyer coming in trying to, hug the market by making a
I do understand what Robert is saying. Now, Robert said he's not from Ireland. No. Well, when he say he's not from Ireland, he's living in Ireland, but he's not an Irish citizen. But he said, like, if he applied for a mortgage for 200,000 tomorrow, or a loan for 200,000, let's say, and gave false documents to get a loan and then pissed off back to his own country with the money, you know, sure, where would we be then? So he said there has to be steps there in place to make sure people are not doing this. And there has to be laws.
It's a good argument going either way, to be honest with you, because at the end of the day, this, like one of the other callers mentioned, that this problem comes back around with a double knock-on effect. Effectively, like, you know, we end up with somebody who's potentially looking at homelessness because they can't afford to pay because they've declared themselves, like the taxi drivers back. And the boom time.
How much would, no, but don't be having to go with taxi drivers. You know, taxi drivers only earn 300 quid a week.
I'm only joking.
No, you could run a whole show on that.
Yeah, you could. Taxi drivers only earn 300 quid a week as far as revenue is concerned. But when it comes to getting a mortgage, taxi drivers suddenly earn 2 grand a week. Okay, well, stay there for a second. A bit of creative accountancy probably going on there, too. Not all of them, by the way, can I point out. Dave, you're on Classic Hits. How you doing, Dave? Oh, sorry, Dave. Oh, where is he gone? Hold on. So, Dave, sorry, go ahead. Dave, are you there? Yeah, Dave, hello? Okay, we seem to have lost. Yeah, can you hear me now? Right, maybe we can try and get it back. Seamus, Seamus, I've already gone to you. But Ron, I mean, I know you're admitting that you did it at the time. It was different times. There was a lot of people probably got dodgy P60s or statement of earnings from their bosses at the time. But, you know, they are different times now. We have to be more careful. We can't make mistakes like we did before.
No, you're right, Niall. I know a couple who had classes friends who, back in pre-recession times, got a massive mortgage because the banks gave them a massive mortgage. Now, double to what I applied for. They now don't even live in that house anymore. They still own it, but they have to rent it out because they can't afford to pay it. Because the rental market is so more affluent now than what.
Yeah, no, I understand everything has kind of changed. Let me just try Dave again there because it's an interesting story. Dave, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Dave?
Hi, Ned. How are you?
Yeah, you're there now. I don't know what happened there. God bless you. All right, so Dave, you were told by the mortgage advisor basically what to say to get the mortgage.
Yeah, effectively, yeah. So, actually went and applied for a mortgage 4 or 5 months ago and drew down recently. Now, like, you know, there was things like, you know, like there was one of my credit card statements where the credit card was, you know, over its limit 1 month. And I happened to mention that I mainly use that work for that card for, you know, getting work, expensing things for work if I had to travel for work. And she said, right, well, when the underwriters come back, we'll tell them you went over because you were incurring work expenses, et cetera, et cetera. So
it wasn't really a lie. It was just a kind of a distortion of the truth.
It was borderline, you know, it was marginal. It was creative, for want of a better word. But like I said in my text, I mean, it kind of behooved her for us to get approved for the mortgage.
Because she gets a commission, of course, yeah.
She gets a commission out of it, apparently, yeah.
Right, so it's in her interest, the mortgage advisor, in her interest to make sure you get that mortgage, so she will give you some advice on how to tell a few fibs.
Exactly. Anything that looked marginal or that could be explained, you know, better. She'd give you some, you know, advice and some tips. And, you know, she came back as well with things like, you know, have you any accounts in your, you know, we have a child, and she said, do you have a savings account in your child's name? And we said, yeah, we do. There's, you know, there's some money in it, not a huge amount. She goes, right, get me the statements for that, because we can put that down and make it look like you've got cash in other accounts and stuff like that. So the banks are starting to get creative again.
By the way, did you find that whole process? I'm just curious now. That whole process of explaining everything on your bank statement, right?
Yeah.
Was it very invasive? Did you find it a bit invasive?
Yes.
Yeah, and almost down to what you're spending your money on.
Yes.
Yeah, it does seem very, very invasive. And I spoke to another girl recently who's in the same situation as you, same process as you, you know, hoping to get the approval. And she was telling me about all that, similar to you with the child's bank account and, you know, what you're spending money on here and what you're spending on there. It is very, very invasive, isn't it?
It is. And I kind of, you know, they were looking at what we earn and kind of going, you know, how come you don't have more savings here?
You shouldn't be going out so much.
Could have been in school or something like that. But
yeah,
but no. That was by far and away the absolute worst part, was literally collecting documents.
I know, and don't get me wrong, I know they're loaning you quite an amount of money, you know, with a deal that you're going to pay it back over a long period of time. So they have to be, the criteria has to be reasonably strict, and I understand the logic behind that. But
yeah. Well, I mean, in our case, we had a lot of equity tied up in the house, and that, like, the house is worth a lot more than what we were buying it for.
Yeah, and so I can understand that. So, Dave, I've run right out of time, but thank you for your honesty, and I appreciate you talking to us today.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic.